We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
On America's Sports Voice, King of OX.
Back at it as we get into hour number two of the program. We've got a lot coming up this hour. Jason Isringhausen is going to join us in about 15 minutes or so. Later on this hour, we welcome back on Kevin Wheeler. He is with us each day here through the first 3 days of the week as we go through our Cardinals season preview. Today, we'll be focusing in on relief pitching with Wheels. Also talking a little bit about the news of the day when it comes to Dylan Carlson and Victor Scott. If you've got thoughts, by the way, on the Dylan Carlson-Victor Scott situation, as Victor Scott's going to be making his Major League debut on Thursday against the Dodgers, would love to hear from you. You can call, text, or tweet. You call or text 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. Or you can tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak did spend some time with the media earlier today making this announcement, and he started with just that, the announcement of what exactly was going down with Carlson headed to the injured list.
We have not finalized our roster yet. Obviously, we have till Thursday morning. But with Dylan Carlson's injury yesterday, something has to happen. So we will likely add Victor Scott the second. And, you know, it's obviously unfortunate for DC. We had a really good camp, was swinging the bat well. And, you know, yesterday with that collision, he ended up spraining his AC joint on his left shoulder, and you know, that's going to obviously take some time before he can get himself back. So just have to be patient. You know, you think about sort of the stress of our outfield that's been under, not having Tommy Edman, not having Newt Barr, and now losing DC. It's going to be challenged, but you know, the one thing we know about Victor Scott is he's a talented defender, and certainly will help our outfield in that regard.
A well-timed airplane right in the middle of him speaking in Arizona. So that's the announcement. Victor Scott II will open up the season with the Cardinals. He'll make his Major League debut on Thursday, starting in center field. For Dylan Carlson, this is a bummer because he had a nice camp. He really did. And we talked about this on the show yesterday, how prior to the injury, for me, it really didn't matter how well Victor Scott played in spring. It was all about whether or not Dylan Carlson would open up the door to Scott making the team. And Carlson, to his credit, did not do that. Unfortunately for Carlson and everybody else, outside of Scott, I guess you could say, but unfortunately for the Cardinals, Carlson got injured, and he gets injured yesterday, and injuries happen, and now you just have to move forward, and they're going to be moving forward with Victor Scott. So more on Scott in a second, but as we continue to hear from John Mozeliak, he did say that he absolutely does feel bad for Carlson.
Yeah, I just imagine it's you know, uber frustrating for him and really the club, but you know, you think about the offseason he had, what he was tasked to do when he showed up in camp, and you know, had really righted his ship and had positioned himself well for this upcoming season. So this is certainly disappointing, but you have to remind yourself it's a long season, 162 games, and, you know, at some point he will be back contributing to us.
Yeah, so at some point, the indication right now is that for Carlson, this isn't a season-ending type injury. This isn't even something that's probably going to take months. It's more of a week sort of thing. But Mozeliak certainly did not have a specific timeline on when Carlson might be able to return.
think it really will depend on how he feels over the next few days. For anybody that's ever experienced the AC joint, it can be very uncomfortable. So it's not uncommon to then have that joint injected and to try to calm it down. So we'll just see what happens over the next 48 to 72 hours. But he will return back to St. Louis and be reevaluated by Dr. Pilato.
So, yeah, just a really big disappointment for Dylan Carlson. You didn't know what was going to happen with him this season. He was only getting the opportunity to be the everyday center fielder because Tommy Edman had not fully recovered from an injury himself. So now Carlson suffers an injury, and that opens up the door for Victor Scott. And just the way this Cardinals roster is constructed, they don't have a lot of guys who can play center field. They've got Michael Ciani, and he will continue to make the team, but he certainly is not somebody that you're going to put out there on an everyday basis. As good of a defensive outfielder as he is, that you have to. We talked about it yesterday. You have to move forward with Victor Scott. That was the only answer to this question going into it, if Carlson was going to miss any sort of time. And it does hurt the Cardinals, and just from a 40-man standpoint, we'll see what the move ends up being, but there is going to be a 40-man implication to it. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first off, Mo did make it very clear that if Victor Scott's going to be here, he's not coming here to sit on the bench. He's going to play.
You know, you obviously don't want to bring somebody up, have to add someone to the roster spot, especially when you're not even in the protection year. So given that we're fast-forwarding this, then he'll get a lot of opportunities to be playing in the beginning part of this season.
Yeah, so they're taking this year, and they're basically fast-forwarding what they're doing with Victor Scott from a roster perspective, because he's going to have to end up on the 40-man roster now, somewhere he's not here at the moment. They've got a couple non-40-man guys who are going to make it onto the opening day roster, and they're going to have to create spots to do that. Now, you would think that potentially one move they could make, because right now we're not hearing about progress being made by Tommy Edman when it comes to his wrist. You would think maybe there's the possibility that they could put Edman onto the 60-day injured list, and that would open up a 40-man roster spot. That'd be one way to go, but Mozeliak made it clear that that's not something that they're going to be doing.
I don't think so. We've gotten encouraging news on him of late, so I do not think putting him on the 60 would make sense.
Yeah, so again, tough decisions to be made. They're going to have to make those here over the next 36 hours or so. Maybe there are some guys who can end up on the 60-day injured list if they need to put them there. You don't know what's going to end up happening. Guys may end up there's a good chance that somebody's going to be released from the 40-man roster because they've got a couple guys who do need to get added to be able to get to that spot. So that's one side of it. The other side of it is just all the injuries in the outfield. The Cardinals have three players who at some point in time have been earmarked as a starting outfielder this year. You know, Dylan Carlson didn't open up spring projected to be the everyday starting center fielder. We thought that was going to be Tommy Edman, but once it became clear that Edman wasn't going to be available, Carlson became that guy. So between Carlson and Edman and Lars Nootbaar, the Cardinals have three guys who have been considered starting outfielders who are going to open up the season on the injured list. Clearly, that is not a fantastic scenario. Nootbaar, where is he at right now as he continues to come back from the non-displaced rib fracture? We did get a little bit of an update from Mo.
Hearing a lot of good news there, too. So yesterday was a really encouraging day for Lars, and hopefully that continues, and he can progress himself back into maybe being on a rehab when Memphis opens, not this weekend, but maybe some point next week.
Okay, so that answers a little bit of a question there, because he said perhaps he can go on a rehab with Memphis, not this weekend, but next weekend. So that's the weekend of April 5th and 6th. That's the weekend of the Cardinals, you know, the Cardinals home opening weekend. Perhaps we'll see Lars Nootbaar get into a rehab assignment at that point in time. And if that's the case, maybe we see him get returned to the Cardinals a week after. But essentially, we're still looking at least 2 weeks until Lars Nootbaar is going to be able to return to the Cardinals. So I'm excited to see what Victor Scott can do. We talked about this previously, and I think one of the things that allows him to potentially be successful is kind of his hitting profile. You know, you think about Jordan Walker last year, and I think Walker had a great season last year, but he did hit a little bit of a wall, and they sent him down to Memphis. We can argue whether or not that was the right decision. But his hitting profile, Walker's hitting profile, is to drive the ball. So that was something that they wanted to adjust some things with him to give him the opportunity to drive the ball. For Scott, it's not so much about driving the ball. If he does, that's great. I'm not saying that he can't, but I'm saying that's for his type of game, that's not what's overly necessary because you want him getting on base. Once he gets on base, that's when the electricity gets turned on. And you get to see some really, really fun things with him on the bases. And he is able to impact the game in many ways. He's able to force mistakes from other teams. It just becomes a whole other thing. So doesn't matter how he gets on base. But as long as he is getting on base, he is certainly doing his job. Cardinals did make some roster moves today. John King and Pedro Páez each being sent to Memphis. Thomas Sejesi was reassigned to Memphis, and they officially announced that Carlson, along with Lars Nootbaar, Tommy Edman, Drew Rahm, Sonny Gray, and Keenan Middleton are all going to open up this season on the injured list. So no surprise there, but the roster is slowly but surely coming together. All right, we'll take a break. This is going to be a treat. When we return, we'll talk with another former Cardinal. Jason Isringhausen is set to join us in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. We're continuing to get you set for Cardinals baseball. It starts on Thursday, and this is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. We're continuing to get set for the Cardinals season opener on Thursday. Of course, you'll hear all the Cardinals games right here on KMOX. Right now, very happy to welcome in a former Cardinal. He now works with the Cardinals as a pitching coach, working a lot with the minor leaguers. We saw him up with the major league staff at the end of last season. He is Cardinals great Jason Isringhausen. Jason, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
Hey, great. How are you guys?
Doing all right. You were down at spring training a lot this year working with pitchers. What's your excitement level for this group of pitchers this year? Obviously, it looks different than what the Cardinals had last season.
I think we went with some, at the major league level, we went with some guys that can eat up some innings. And that's what we were having problems with last year. So I think it's great with the signings we got. I know they're a little bit older, but they've been proven that they can eat some innings. So, and that will take some pressure off our bullpen to try to keep everybody fresh.
From a relief standpoint, they brought in some more high leverage guys. Middleton's going to start the season on the injured list, but he and Andrew Kittredge can come in and join Helsley and Gallegos and Romero. It seems like this team is going to have more options in close games late. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, totally agree with you. We need to get some guys healthy, of course. I mean, that's everybody's problem, is keeping everybody healthy. But, with him starting on the DL, our relief corps, we got Libby down there now. So, I mean, that helps out with Zach starting. So we will a lefty that can throw, upper 90s with a nice slider and a curveball to get the ball to, Gallegos and Helsley. And Kid Chris is going to be a great addition. So, I've got to get Keenan healthy, and things should be looking all right down there.
You can make the argument that Riley O'Brien had as impressive of a spring as any relief pitcher. What did you think of what you saw from him?
Yeah, it's analytically speaking. I mean, he's got balls that that run like 22 inches both ways, as a slider and a sinker. And when you can put that around the strike zone the way he did this spring, I mean, the hitters have to make an adjustment really quick and figure out which way the ball is going to go. He does a real good job of tunneling his pitches, which means they all come out of the same slot. And he's got a power sinker and a power slider. And he had a great spring. He's going to be a great addition to the team. Like I said, he should be able to come in and get some ground balls a lot when we need some double plays. And I think we put together a decent little pitching staff. And I think if, like I said, we got to keep everybody healthy. We have some guys in our leagues, but in my opinion, they're still a little bit of ways. So we need to bridge that gap. And Mo and company went out and did just that to get some older guys that can eat some innings to really give our younger guys some chance to really work on their craft and get ready to go.
How much are you enjoying your role with the organization where you're in spring training, you're working with minor leaguers during the year, you got to spend some time with the big league staff at the end of next season, just everything that you're doing with the organization, how much are you enjoying it?
I enjoy it a lot. I just enjoy being around the guys. I enjoy baseball. I enjoy trying to teach and just trying to pay it forward, so to speak, like guys did with me. And I still feel like I have something to offer the kids, working on all the facets of, being a coach now with the analytics and then plus the old school stuff that I can bring to the guys. And talking pitching is something that I love to do. And working with the younger guys all throughout the year and then the big league guys, I should be bouncing in and out a little bit of St. Louis this year, which will be great. I do mostly. I live here in town, over in Edwardsville area, so I drive to Peoria, A-ball, Springfield, Missouri, AA, and Memphis, AAA. So I work with the top three levels. I'm just trying to make them better every day, get them ready to go, just making sure they understand what's coming ahead of them, and hopefully I can help them out and get where we need to get to help the Cardinals win.
In the last couple minutes, you talked about the analytics on Riley O'Brien's pitches, and then you talk about the old school mentality and the stuff that you can, kind of impart to young guys. Is that something that baseball needs right now, just the ability to bring both those things in, not lose what this game was built upon, but also understanding the way technology and data can be used at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, there's no way you're going to get around not using the data in today's game. I mean, it's just these kids in today's world, they have all the information at their fingertips. We have some programs that we use as an organization to where they can look and see how they're graded and what their pitches do and how to make certain pitches better and to work on pitches that aren't as efficient. I think it's a great idea. I wish I would have had it back in the day to make things easier and to know what my pitches did without just the eyeball test. But I do believe that there's a place for both, and that's the magic stew, so to speak, is trying to be able to morph the two together. And you take the smart people and you take the old school people, you work them together, and you get a great mix of information that these players they can use, and that's what we're trying to do, to the best of our abilities.
In the minor leagues, rovers are always popping in. That hasn't really been that way with the big league staff, but you mentioned you'll pop in on the Cardinals occasionally. We know that Yadier is going to be coming in occasionally. Is it good for people like you who are maybe not with the big league team on an everyday basis to get in there and spend some time and get some different eyes on there every once in a while?
I think that's the plan. Ollie likes me around. I think Dusty does too, just to help him out, another set of eyes if we're doing bullpens or going over scouting or going over anything. And you can never have enough eyeballs on people when you're trying to make things better. And as I think everybody knows that. That's just the way it works. So the more eyes we can get on people, the better things go, especially the day's game with the tipping and the running game and everything. Just trying to look for different keys to success. And if I can help them any way I can, Mo knows I'm there for that. So, and I look forward to it. I look forward to going over there and seeing the guys and seeing the staff and, seeing all the clubhouse guys and things like that. So it's still a good job to keep my foot in the door, but being able to spend some time with the family also.
We're a little bit more than a week away from the Cardinals home opener. When you think about opening day in St. Louis, when people ask you questions about it, how do you describe it? What's the thing that most stands out to you?
I just think it's just so special the way the DeWitts have kept this tradition going, and the Red Jacket Parade is pretty special, and the cars and things. I mean, I don't think any other team in baseball does it the way the Cardinals do it, and we have a tradition of that. And, it's one of my most favorite times of the year, and it was when I was playing, too. I mean, you don't get to be up to next to those magnificent horses very often. And now we get to, walk into the tunnel and you get to rub on them and pet on them and talk to the guys that are handling them and watching them go around the stadium and feel the ground shake when they come by. It's an amazing thing. And the fans, we're spoiled. I'm a fan at heart. We're spoiled here in St. Louis with the hoopla surrounding opening day. Hopefully we have some good weather, a lot of sunshine, and it's always a fun day in St. Louis.
Is there somebody or a group of people that you especially look forward to seeing on opening day that maybe that's your one chance to see them on an annual basis?
Well, it's changed throughout the years. When I was playing, we got to see Gibby and Lou and Red and everybody, and some of the guys that have passed away, and Bruce was always one of my favorites. It's weird now because when Ollie asked me to speak to the team like during spring training, I'm like, I feel sorry for these guys because I got to listen to Red Sandy's talk and these guys have to listen to me talk. So it's not quite the same. I mean, I remember Red saying this was like his 64th spring training at one point. And I'm a 31, so I'm getting there, but it's a slow process. And getting to see Carp, guys like that, I don't get to see Carp very often. Scotty Rowland, Jimmy's around all the time, but getting to see the guys, give everybody a hug and see how their family's doing and watching how their kids are growing up. It's a great day for everybody.
He is Jason Isringhausen, has a role with the organization, a former pitcher and one of the all-time Cardinal greats. Jason, thank you so much for taking the time. We'll see you at the ballpark throughout the year.
All right, I appreciate it. Have a great day.
That's Jason Isringhausen joining us here on the program. Appreciate him taking a few moments with us. When we return, we'll hear from Kevin Wheeler, our daily conversation with him as we continue to preview this year's Cardinal season. We'll do that next as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Your home of the Cardinals.
Arenado swings and hits it deep to left field. That ball is out of here.
The Billikens.
Jumper. Yes! Billikens win!
The Chiefs.
Touchdown! Kansas City!
We are America's sports voice. KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We're doing this. We did it yesterday. We're doing it today. We're doing it tomorrow. It's a three-part series with our guy, Kevin Wheeler, as we preview the Cardinal season. Hi, Kevin.
How you doing? It only cost me like $50 to get all this time, too. It's
there
great.
There you go. When I was in Colorado, my co-host on my afternoon show, his name was Wheels.
Oh.
So the show was Paulie and Wheels.
Oh, nice.
So
I like
feel
it.
Like this is Paulie and Wheels part two
all
for
right.
me.
I can roll with that. That is my nickname. So
yeah, there you
there
go.
There are people that have never, I don't think they even know my name is Kevin.
Hmm. There's a lot of people who think my name is Paul because people call me Paulie.
Oh, hey, Paulie.
Yeah. Yeah, they just think like
that.
It's
you
a nickname.
You should get some clips from Rocky. Hey, yo, Paulie.
I had a country music PD one time tell me that my name on a country station should be Paul Lee. Not good at all. All right, before we get into relief pitching, that's kind of what we're focusing in on today. The news of the day, Dylan Carlson, AC joint sprain. He's going to open up the season on the injured list. Victor Scott has already been returned to the team. He got into the game earlier today. So.
Yeah.
This is a great opportunity for Victor Scott.
It is. And a good move. I mean, like, it's the obvious move, but it's a good move. Like, you can't be missing three outfielders and say, well, we're not going to bring up our best outfield prospect, right? I mean, at the very least, at the bare minimum, Victor Scott's going to be a high-end defender. right? I mean, yeah. At the very least, you're, I mean, so for people that don't follow the scouting grades that people get, like 80 grade speed, 80 is the highest grade you can get in any category. So 80 grade power is Aaron Judge, right? Well, 80 grade speed is Victor Scott.
Right.
Like, he is one of the fastest players in baseball and already a strong defender, and he has hit. Like, he's hit in the minors, he hit in the Arizona Fall League, he hit in the spring. The last remaining question is, does he hit in the majors? And if he hits in the majors, he might be here all year.
He might. Like, this is where it's a great opportunity for him, because force the issue.
Yeah.
You don't know when Tommy Edman's coming back.
Nope.
You don't know when Dylan Carlson is coming back. Force the Cardinals into a tough issue. That's all.
Yeah, and look, finding room for another good player is one of those, quote, good problems.
Yeah.
You know, if he makes that a difficult decision, you know, like, you know, when Edman's back and when all of them, well, then you have a tough decision. So what? That's okay.
I kind of compare this to Jordan Walker last year, because Walker was a young guy making his debut. They sent Walker down when he was struggling a little bit offensively. I feel like it could be a little different with Scott, though, because the offensive profile for Scott isn't about driving the ball. Walker was about driving the ball. For Scott, it's about making contact, forcing the issue, making infielders make plays, put down as many bunt singles as you want, like stuff like that. So, look, if he struggles offensively, then he's going to go back down. But it just doesn't seem like he's got the profile where they have to fix something.
No, that's definitely not. I mean, like, you know, what we're looking for Walker, what the team wants, what I'm sure he wants, and what all of us are looking for is slug.
Right.
High slug. Well, with Victor, all you really care about is OBP.
Yeah.
Get on base. If he's getting on base, he is a weapon, because a walk could be a double or a triple, because he's going to steal. He's not going to sit there and wait. He certainly hasn't in the minors. I don't think he'd have the freedom to run here like he's been running in the minors, but still, everybody knows the report on him, and it will change everything about how teams play that.
I think you let him be him.
I mean, I would give him a green light for sure until he proves he doesn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Right. Because his instincts are great. His speed is top end. And, you know, forget just steals. I mean, that's a big part of it. But it's also, he scores from first on a double. He's getting to third on a single from first base. He's scoring from every single from second base. Like, he is a legit difference maker on the bases in every way you could measure it.
I saw him do something that I've never seen somebody do before. I can't remember if he was going first to third or second to third, but his helmet fell off in the middle. And he basically, he stopped. I use air quotes to say stopped, because he never really stopped.
Right, just broke stride.
But he picked his helmet up, and he still got into third without a problem.
That's crazy.
He is so fast.
You should not do that, but that's pretty crazy.
No, you shouldn't. You go into third without the helmet and find a helmet that fits better.
Yeah.
But that's what you should do. All right, we'll talk a lot more about the lineup tomorrow. Wanted to focus in on the bullpen today. I like this group. I like what the Cardinals did in the offseason. I'm a little bummed that Keenan Middleton's not going to be there to start the season, but he should be available sooner than later. I think the Riley O'Brien thing is going to be really fun to watch. He's somebody who's had a nice spring. The profile of this bullpen, I think, is maybe the most improved area from last year to this year.
I'd agree. I mean, they increased the swing and miss. I mean, it doesn't mean you're automatically good, but it gives you more room for error, you know, I'm okay. As long as Ryan Helsley's healthy, I think the ninth inning's fine. You're good to go. Maybe, you know, hopefully he can do more of the, you know, back-to-back days and three out of four or whatever, because that's what closers need to do. But, you know, that's his – I'm not worried about his ability to finish games or be a dominant reliever. Gallegos is really interesting because he's coming off a bad year. He's worked a lot the last 3 or 4 years. Like, he has worked a lot. So is that – a problem long term, or is that you know, just one bad year and now he's going to bounce back and be Gio Gallegos? You know, what's Romero? You know, he's got the stuff, right? Throws hard, misses bats, but doesn't have a track record of continuously doing it in the major leagues. But overall, yeah, when you're adding O'Brien and Fernandez and the guys, you're seeing an uptick in stuff and repertoire from Andre Pallante, and now Libertor's back there. Yep. I'm really excited to see what he is. Is he a guy that they're going to deploy as the multi-inning guy? You know, he comes in, you know, if you need somebody in the fifth and he goes fifth and sixth, is he going to be a guy that they deploy in more leverage spots? Not in the eighth or ninth, I wouldn't think, but in the sixth or the seventh. I'm curious to see how they treat him. But again, really good stuff, because his velocity ticks up a little bit when he's in the pen and he's got a good breaking ball.
Yeah, you want the starting pitching situation to kind of stabilize itself out, so Liberatore isn't stuck in that situation of bouncing from one spot to another. It feels like he needs to have a defined role. And if that defined role is in the bullpen, then that's great.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the point, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's time to figure out something. Right?
Sure.
It's like, waiting is not going to be really helping.
And we talked about that yesterday with Zach Thompson and just
right.
these young guys. At some point, they got to become who they're going to be.
And I don't mean for their career. I just mean for this team right now.
Yeah.
You know, they're young. You know, Liberator Torres, he's still 23. You know, I think Thompson's around that, 24 maybe. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, like, long term, they can figure it out. But, I mean, we're talking about for the importance of this team right now. And this is a team that is – I know they can't forget the future, but today is more important than next year. Because you're yes. coming off a bad year. This
yeah.
is a really important year.
But to that point, today is more important than next year, but today isn't always more important than next month. And I think that goes into the
yeah.
Oliver Marmol extension
yeah.
where they can they've got a tough start to the season
yep.
and you don't sacrifice more wins later on in the season for one win now.
Not necessarily, right, because that's what happened last year.
Right.
Right. The bullpen burnt out because you didn't have any choice. I'm curious to see how much they're going to ride the Memphis Express with their bullpen, how many guys are going to be shuttling back and forth if they're needed to. But that's the other question. Like, to me, the one interesting question about the pen is how much do you have behind what you're starting with?
Yeah.
Like, how many guys do you have at Memphis that you're comfortable shuttling back and forth? You know, I mean, is Graceffo a bullpen option if you need an arm? You know, are they going to look more at, you know, even like a Drew Rahm if you want a lefty? I mean, like,
right.
you know, because they have a few options as starters that are going to be at Memphis that
John
can fill
King
in.
John King will likely end up at Memphis.
And I'm sure he's a guy that you'll see a good bit during the regular
right.
season, too, because he's experienced and he pitched pretty well last year. But, like, let's say any one of your key guys goes down for a while. So you've already lost Middleton. Let's say Gallegos or Helsley or Romero, they're going to miss a month. Well, then who's the next guy?
Maybe Robertson.
Yeah, I say he's got the stuff.
Yeah.
And not the experience, but he certainly has the big fastball and the swing and miss. So
There's guys there. They just got to put it together at the big league level.
Which is different than last year.
Right.
You didn't have those big swing and miss guys that are, like, waiting in the wings.
Right, when a Kyle Leahy's the guy who's getting called up last
year. Right.
Like, that's the – hopefully they're not in that type of situation.
Because, you know, they have Andre Granillo, who's interesting. He's had some good years in the minors. Yeah, it's. I'm also interested though in the guys that are starters getting those looks, and in particular Graceffo.
Yeah.
Because I'm not talking about writing him off as a starter long term, but I'm saying if you need him in the pen now, like this year, forget next year.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
Bring him up and put him in the pen, and you can worry about building things up later on because you do have other options to be your seventh, eighth, ninth starters. Right.
Yeah.
Guys that probably wouldn't have the impact in the pen that a guy like Graceffo has if his stuff comes back to where it was in 2022.
Ryan Fernandez is another guy who's likely to make the team.
He's a Rule 5, yeah.
Yeah, Rule 5 guy, so he always had that going for him. But he did what he needed to do here
yeah.
in the spring.
Yeah, I mean, look, they took him in the Rule 5 because he has the profile, right? Because he throws hard, he misses bats. And the question is, you know, can he throw enough strikes to be successful? And then what kind of role can he handle? I mean, at this point, you're talking middle innings. You're not talking about a guy that's going to be pitching at the back end of the bullpen. So, you know, why would you take the chance of losing him if he fits a certain profile? Give him that shot.
The bottom line on this is when you think about the high leverage guys, and we'll include Middleton, even though he's not going to be on the roster when the season starts. Helsley, Gallegos, Kittredge, Romero. Although maybe he wasn't quite he didn't have the spring that you would have loved for him to have.
Yeah.
But we saw what he did down the stretch of the season last year. That group is such an improved group over last year, and there's more high leverage options. They didn't have high leverage options last year.
Yes. I mean, and even some that they were counting on to do that just didn't do it.
Right.
You know, like Gallegos as an example. And, you know, we talked a lot last year, justifiably, and last night about mm-hmm. the starting rotation, and it's a big deal. But the bullpen was a big part of the problem last year. I mean, yes, they're tied together. Yeah, the workload is a part of all that, but I don't think it's all of it. And they went from one of the better conversion rates on saves in 2022 to one of the worst last year. If that's just average this year, like you split the difference, you're in the middle of that, it's probably another 5 wins.
At least.
Yeah.
At least.
So Like, people think, the bullpen. The bullpens have never been more important than they are in Major League Baseball right now. So if the bullpen is just league average when it comes to holding leads, it's at least 5-6 games that are swinging in the other direction.
And that 5-6 swings probably prior to July 31st.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, right? It's a few a month. It's 2 or 3 a month.
Yeah, so when you do that, then it's a very different season if we were to apply that to last year.
Right. I mean, like, 3 blown saves a month's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, if you add that up as the season goes along, that's 18 over the course of the year. That's a lot. Again, if you're league average, the difference from last year to this year is, all right, there's half a dozen games that we lost last year that we win now. And that makes up a big, not all of, but certainly a good chunk of what you need to get back to.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, we'll talk lineup tomorrow.
All right, let's do it.
That's Kevin Wheeler. I'm Matt Pauly. We're back with more in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Starting to wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Before we get out of here, do want to talk a little City SC soccer. They are coming off a 2-2 draw against DC United this past weekend, and they're going to be on the road this upcoming weekend as they are set to match up against Real Salt Lake. Head coach Bradley Carnell spent some time speaking with the media earlier today. Wanted to go through some of the things that he had to say. First off, while they're happy about the fact that they remain undefeated, they've had a lot of ties recently, and especially at home this past week, they were disappointed that they weren't able to come away with the victory.
We worked so hard the last couple of weeks to get points on the road. We want to make these games count at home, and we feel a little bit disappointed that we couldn't get 2 extra points here at City Park. But it is what it is. I think we're playing some really attractive soccer at the moment, so we just have to clean up a few things and move on, so we're ready to go again.
Yeah, the games have been pretty entertaining for them this year overall. I think just the way that they've played and everything that goes along with it. Certainly we've seen the game against LA the week before, that was something to behold. So I would say certainly some very, very entertaining style of soccer being played right now by City SC. Tim Parker continues to be banged up. We got a bit of an update on him as he is continuing to progress and he's getting onto the practice field a bit.
He's back. It's an important member of the team. You can see a different energy when he's around, different messaging. So it's really good to have him back. And, yeah, we'll progress him through the right ways. And hopefully he's a member this weekend.
Last thing that Bradley Carnell talked about, and this is something, this is a huge story. Just when you think about the level of officiating that we've seen since the start of the season as the MLS officials went on strike. Well, the strike, it has come to an end. They were able to work out an agreement. So the regular officials are set to return to MLS. That's a really, really, really good thing and a really, really important thing for the league moving forward. And Carnell is clearly ready to move past the replacement refs.
Everyone's trying their best. The teams that we had here before, and just think without them, there was no soccer happening. We made a plan. We made it work. We just move on. And everyone's trying their best to put the product forward, and we move on.
Yeah, everybody's moving on, and there's no, you're in good shape now when it comes to that moving forward. All right, that's just about going to do it for the program tonight. Be with us tomorrow. We've got a lot that's going to be coming up. We talked with Mark Sweeney earlier today on the show, as he's one of the newest additions to the TV lineup when it comes to the analyst for the Cardinals. Tomorrow we are going to be joined by the other newest addition and another former Cardinal, as Tom Pagnazzi is going to join us tomorrow. Another former Cardinal, John Tudor, he's going to join us. Danny Wexelman's going to be with us tomorrow. She is a St. Louisan that's doing work with MLB Network, ESPN, MLB Network Radio. So she does a fantastic job with everything that she does, and always love being able to talk with Danny. She's going to be with us coming up tomorrow as well. Tomorrow is the final day without baseball. And then things get started coming up on Thursday. We are so looking forward to it. I want to say thanks to all my guests today. What a show. This is a fun show to do. Mark Sweeney, Ray Lankford, Jason Isringhausen, Kevin Wheeler. Thanks to all of them. Thanks to you for being tuned in. At Your Service is on the way next. You've been listening to a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.